Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to On Driven on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Jenny, Aline and Hugh. On tonight's programme we will chat to Ginny. Ginny will chat to us about the cultural boundaries of growing up in Australia and having her Sri Lankan background. She will also talk about her Catholic schooling, expressing her thoughts and feelings through writing play scripts and screenplays. Once again we have another great discussion coming up tonight on Orange Ribbon. So stay with us for the next hour and welcome to Orange Ribbon, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
Jenny's actually our guest presenter tonight, so thank
pushing
you
all
much.
The buttons.
That's it, you're pushing our buttons. And welcome back to our host who's been away for 5 months.
Five very long months up in Queensland.
Yeah, the wonderful Aline is back with us. Welcome back to Orange Ribbon, Aline.
Thanks.
How's it to be back?
It's great to be back. I'm never leaving again, that's for sure.
Okay.
Not that I didn't like where I was, but
no.
It was a long 5 months.
You
and
just
I've been
us.
Missing you guys.
Mm. Of course you would. Anyway.
You were very sorely missed as well. I'll say something nice.
Please.
And welcome, Ginny, to Orange Ribbon. Is
Thank
this your
you.
First time in Orange Ribbon?
It is, actually, and it's been a long day for me. So if I'm a little, like, jittery, it's because I've had a lot of caffeine.
Yeah, but, Ginny's just been telling me she gets up at 4:30 in the morning to do the Hump Day Cruise show on a
yes.
Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I just did the breakfast show today, and, yes, it's... I think it's 13 hours I've been up.
Yeah, but you're on it to blame because it takes you 2 hours to get ready. Obviously,
not,
there's a problem there.
It's not my fault I live across a bridge and I have to row through sheep to get here.
Right.
Don't pick on the...
And it takes 45 minutes to do your hair.
Exactly. I went straight in my... Thank you.
She's bald. What are you talking about?
Well, don't need to explain it to you.
Now, Ginny's here tonight to talk about her story. And it's a very interesting story as well. Do you want to start, Ginny, by telling us your background, where you come from?
I'm from Sri Lanka, which is an island off India. It's in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm just getting out my geography skills here. My parents are Sri Lankan, and so it's a very traditional kind of... if you've seen Bennett Like Beckham, it's kind of a good guideline. You are kind of expected to, you know... It's a very class-orientated society, really. To get, I guess, higher up in the... pyramid, so to speak, you've got to marry. So if I was middle class, in order to be upper class, I've got to marry someone who's
you're
going to
marry upwards.
Mm. How old were you when you came to Australia?
I was 2.5.
Okay.
And we came, I think, 1988 we came, and my sister's actually 11 years older than me, so she was kind of in... I think the change probably affected her more than me, because I kind of don't remember much of Sri Lanka. I mean, the culture I've remembered, because I've been around it, I've grown up around it, but in terms of the country and how people live there, I don't really remember anything, really.
Why did your parents come here in the first place?
My mum is from a huge family. She's got 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow, that's
up.
A big family.
It's a very big family. And seven of them had already moved to Melbourne. So my mother wanted to come here because Sri Lankan, like, the civil war was kind of kicking up over there between the Tamils and the Sinhalese. So, they feared for myself and my sister's safety. So we moved over here and we stayed at my auntie's place, who's the oldest sister of my mother's. And then we kind of moved out to Northcote, and then we moved out... It's kind of ironic that I lived in Northcote and I didn't know I was gay. And then I moved to Clayton. That's when I realised, hold on, am I missing something here? So, so that's what happened. It was kind of a safety thing for us, I guess. And just in terms of education, it's much better here than it is over there. And opportunities for women as well is much more easier and freer here than over there.
Do you consider yourself Sri Lankan or Australian?
Both. Have to say, because there are bits of my culture which I can't dismiss, and there are values here that I've grown up around that I can't dismiss either. Mm. So,
okay. We'll come back to the story very soon. This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Orange Ribbon.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Tonight with Hugh, Jenny and myself, Aline, and our guest today from Sri Lanka is Ginny. Ginny, can you tell us a little bit about that track?
That track was, of course, Aqua Turn Back Time. It was a track off the movie Sliding Doors, which came out, I think, off the top of my head, is about 8-9 years ago, I think. Gwyneth Paltrow was in it.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Right. Yep.
And the reason why I picked that track was because I remember when that movie came out, I was going through a time of that inner conflict where I was like, okay, I'm at a Catholic school, I kind of like girls. I'm not supposed to. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what...
Was it an all-girls school?
It was an all-girls school as well. So it was very... I remember... when was it? I think I had a crush on this... I had a crush on this teacher, my year 8 homeroom teacher. Gorgeous, French accent.
I think you put on a very good French accent.
She had the most beautiful voice. She could sing like an angel as well. So I remember having this big crush on her. I remember telling one girl who just absolutely just flinched. She went, ew, ew, ew. And I thought, ooh, okay, that's just seared into my memory. And I remember Sliding Doors came out, and the theme of that movie was... If she caught a train, her life would have changed. So it was like a parody where she had to choose between one path or the other. And I was thinking, ooh, this is kind of a bit, you know, symbolic to how I was feeling. I was like, ooh, okay, do I kind of suppress that and just you know, kind of go with it and pretend I'm hetero, or do I not say anything at all? And it was just...
And how old were you then?
I was 13, 14.
Oh, that's early to be thinking that.
So. That's a time when you're really working out who you are.
Well, I actually...
had that negative response.
Well, I actually knew I was gay or different when I was 5. So it kind of built up over time, and I think when you kind of understand how the world works and you understand right and wrong, because when you're 5, you know, everything's lollipops and fairy floss and, you know, my...
Good times.
Exactly. My grade prep teacher's the best and that kind of thing. But when I got to 13, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm seeing a pattern here where I'm just looking at the girls and boys don't have cooties. I don't really care if they have cooties or, you know, germocks or whatever it was back then. So, it was just one of those times where that song kind of brings back a lot of nostalgia for me, just hearing that before too.
So did you actually consciously think, you know, I could go one way or I could go the other, and...
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Exactly, because I had to think about, okay, well, you know, I'm still 13. So I was like, okay, you know, settle down here, Jenny. You know, you're not going to get...
You've got time.
I've got a few years. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what to do here. And I just kind of, I think I just, that was when I started to sort of, I guess, I used to be quite serious up until I was 13, and I kind of let go a bit. I think, in a sense, I didn't really, you know, express my homosexuality that out there because of being in a Catholic school environment, but I kind of relaxed a lot, and I said, just get to know you before you piece together what your sexuality is.
Why a Catholic school?
My parents are Catholic, or my mother's Catholic, my dad's Buddhist, but okay. When we moved here, my mum put me into the a school in Oakley called Sacred Heart, which is a very strict Catholic school, and you were encouraged to live in a... I remember the school ethos was a Christ-centered environment where you treat all with respect and dignity, and that was the exact ethos we had to learn and memorize it. So it was just, you know, being homosexual is not Christ-centered or Catholic, and
but you should have been treated with respect and dignity.
Exactly, that's what I mean. So it's kind of, you kind of see this hypocrisy which came through of it when you're promoting love and you should love everyone and not discriminate, and then it's like, okay, you can love everyone
as
but these people. Exactly. And it kind of made me think, well, love, isn't that supposed to be unconditional? So, I mean, I kind of had to develop my own sense of, I guess, religion or sense of values, but in a way I do respect the religion that you know, my parents sort of taught me and that kind of thing. And, you know, I actually was put into altar serving for about 10 years, and, you know, I went to church a lot, and it kind of never hit me, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then it got to about 15, 16 when I kind of, you know, sort of settled into who I was. I'm like, this really isn't for me. So I think that's the time where I kind of detached.
And did you have a big connection with the Sri Lankan community in here in Melbourne? Or?
I did up until I was like 16. I think that's when I fully went, nah, I'm going to kind of detach and go my own way. And, like, I remember I used to watch Sri Lankan teledramas, and my mum used to bring films down. I used to always watch them, but when I hit that age, I was like, this isn't me. So I kind of just detached.
Did you grow up speaking two languages?
Yeah, I do still speak Sinhalese at home, which is kind of funny because, you know, when, you know, my relatives come from Sri Lanka, they're like, oh, you're still Sri Lankan, you can still speak the language. So it's like, yeah. I just feel very uncomfortable when they kind of inflict Sri Lanka onto me. It's like, you kind of think, you know, white horse, elephant, 5-day wedding ceremony, all this glorious food.
But so when's the wedding and how are you putting that off?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why when my aunties come over, I'm out of there. So,
How bad is the pressure on you being a Sri Lankan female at home? I mean, in the movie Bend It Like Beckham, the Indian girl had to learn to cook and all the different things associated with home life.
Yeah.
Are you similar?
To a point, I think, look, my parents kind of know what I'm like, so they're kind of not as, I guess, hardcore about it all. But, I mean, there is still that expectation that one day, you know, I'll find a nice Sri Lankan boy or a doctor and, you know, have a nice wedding and pop out children. But I think my parents kind of know that because I've grown up here, I am quite different to the rest of my family, because I kind of have, even the way I am with my independence, and I don't, I think, who was it, that Indian actress who said that moving out here is kind of seen as a statement of independence? Where, oh, it was Ashraya Rai. That's, and they know that with me, if I move out or if I kind of do my own thing, which I do kind of regularly, they know it's, that's just me being independent, and it's been hard for them to kind of accept that, but I think they're doing well with it.
So your mother, you said, is the Catholic.
Yeah.
How did she take you moving away from the religion?
She kind of just saw it as me growing up, and she said, oh, do you still pray and do you still do this? And I think she kind of, because my sister kind of did the same thing too. She still prays and she still goes to church here and there, but she's not as, I guess, hardcore about it as my mother is. But I think she kind of thought that, okay, it's just Ginny doing her thing. And she was a bit funny at first, and she still sometimes asked me, why don't you go to church? I went, look, it's just, I think my view of love is different from the church's. She was a bit...
And we know that Ginny is a person of low morals, as it's her birthday tomorrow, and she looked at my watch and said, this is a very nice Armani watch, and said, can I have it for my birthday? And I said, well, only if you sleep with me. And she said, yes.
Isn't there some defamation law?
And then they both disappeared for like 15 minutes. I don't know what was going on here.
It's 5 minutes. I give so much nice. Credit. 5 minutes.
I knew it was trouble doing a show with you, lesbians. So your father, did he ever want you to move into his religion?
No, my dad, I think growing up in Sri Lanka, because Buddhism's big over there, 80% of the population is Buddhist, my sister had to, you know, go to temple and go to church, but because I moved here when I was two, it was just church for me. He didn't really enforce that upon me.
What about your country? I mean, Sri Lanka, is it legal to be gay in Sri Lanka?
It, as far as I know, I think it's still illegal, because I know that there are, like, there's still... I remember one of my cousins told me, one of my 400 cousins, that there was a movie put out about a girl who actually lived as a guy, and it was that she ended up getting arrested and thrown into jail. I don't know if it's fiction or fact, but it's still, I mean, even to have that sort of concept behind it, it's still very hush-hush. And I think in our culture, to be seen, even losing your virginity to someone who you're not married with, that's just seen as promiscuous and sort of slutty, so to speak. But homosexuality would be seen as far worse than that. That would probably be just, you know, taboo, absolutely taboo.
So have you been back to Sri Lanka?
Yeah, I went back 3 years ago.
Did you meet any gays there?
No, I didn't. I didn't meet any gays, because I didn't go out that much, or I didn't get a chance to club, because clubbing for girls is still quite taboo unless you're upper-class girls. So, you know, I didn't go there, and I didn't go to Sri Lanka club anyway, so it was just really surreal for me just to go there and kind of be like, ooh, I've got to suck up all this culture.
Okay, yeah. We'll come back to the story. This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to On Driven with Jenny, Aline and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9, tuned into Orange Ribbon here, our multicultural program. Jenny here with you, also Aline and Hugh, and our special guest, Ginny. Now, we've had a few messages come in. Colin has written in and said to tell everyone about the multicultural dance party. It's happening on November the 16th. It's called United We Dance. Should be lots and lots of fun. Where is that happening? My goodness. All the proceeds will go directly to the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, which is fantastic. They're doing an amazing job in regards to equal rights for our community. It's happening at the Market, which is on Commercial Road in South Yarra, Sunday the 16th of November from 7 p.m. till late. So you can have an early night, you can party on, you can do whatever you like. We also had a message from Alan, who's in Hong Kong. He didn't say hello to me, but I'll say hello to you. Hello, Alan. He says, Aline and Hugh, welcome back, Aline. Great to hear your voice on air again. He'll be back in Melbourne next week. He's in Hong Kong. G'day, Honkers.
Excellent. Enjoy your last week in Hong Kong, Alan, if you're listening.
Now, Ginny, you just selected that track, I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry. It was a bit controversial here in the studio.
It was. Actually, I can so picture my phone's going to go off when I check it next. My friends are going to text me again, what the hell did you just play? But why I played that song is... you know how nowadays I refer to the culture of girls who kiss girls purely for the sake of getting male attention. The Katy Perry culture, that's what they call it now.
The cherry chapstick culture.
Exactly. Yeah. What happened was in high school, I remember in year 12, there was this group in our year level that would constantly... It wasn't just kissing girls, they'd just do stunts just to get attention. Now, this was kind of awkward for me to watch because a part of me thought, okay, A, they're kind of, you know, doing, they're kissing each other or holding hands or being affectionate with one another and kind of making it look a bit, what's the word?
Raunchy.
Yeah, raunchy. And a part of me is like, okay, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel like that because in a way I felt a bit insulted because that's kind of like my lifestyle they're putting out there and not taking so seriously. Another part of me thought, okay, you're doing it to get attention, so you're kind of, you know, drawing negative connotations to it.
Didn't you think I'm going to join them?
Well,
that would be my first reaction. I was like, get there.
Well, I didn't find them attractive, so you know what I mean.
So? I have to say, since Aline's come back into the studio tonight, all she does is talk about sex.
Exactly. I know, I've been in Brisbane for 5 months.
Whoa. Don't they have sex in Brisbane?
Well, not with me.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Welcome back
to Melbourne. Go out to the Wickham, so, you know, there's not too many places to go to. Anyway, back to Jeannie.
That's why I played that, because it was, and even nowadays when, you know, when you see girls kind of do that to get male, straight male attention, it's kind of like, well, it is a lifestyle and it is a person's, you know, orientation that you are kind of putting out there and, you know, kind of, in a sense, making trivial when it's quite... to some people, it can be quite offensive to do that. So that's why I played Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. I mean, when I first heard that, I was like, oh, no. Here we go. It's year 12 back again.
Jenny, when did you first venture out to gay clubs and bars?
Oh, now, when I left high school, I was like, all the cotton wool that was wrapped around me came down and...
You're rubbing your hands together.
I know, it's evil. I remember going out to my first gay club, The Market, and I saw the most beautiful girl. I remember thinking, you know, when you're 18, you're kind of, it's a big wide world, you're wide-eyed and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go kiss the first girl I see. And funnily enough, that's what happened. Like, I went out and there was this beautiful girl and I thought she was actually straight and because she was with her gay best friend. And it was kind of funny because I look back now, when you kind of, I think, go out on the scene, you kind of observe how people are and their body language, your gaydar gets better and better. Now when I look back, I'm thinking, how could I have missed the fact that they were both gay? But now, it's just, how could I have missed that? And it was just strange, and I remember going out and thinking, oh, you know, you kind of think, oh, it's just, wow, it's an amazing scene. There are all these people that you have things in common with. And I found, as I kept going out more and more, like, throughout the years, that I realised how small the scene was. Mm. Like, you can go out to a club and realise, oh.
And do you realise after years and years and years and you really don't have anything in common apart from that?
What do you mean?
As in, well, you said when you're coming out and you think, God, I've got so much in common, we're all the same. And then as you get older and you think, well, no, we just have this one little thing in common, but really we're...
That's true. No, I did think that. I think, you know, as you kind of grow older and you realise what you want more and you're more comfortable in yourself, you kind of learn what to... not what to do, but you kind of know, okay... clubbing's for this and this is for this, and
that's right,
it's a bit, you kind of departmentalise, I guess.
How did you feel as you started going out clubbing and stuff and girls would interact with you? What was that like for you?
It was, I remember the first girl I kissed, it was just such a, the whole thing about, I guess, you know, I did date boys before and I just found it so much more easy to read their body language and, you know, if they liked you or not. With girls, because generally girls, I found growing up in a girls' school as well, girls generally are touchy-feely with one another. So if someone, you know, touched my hand or, you know, put their arm on me, it's like, oh, she's just being nice, but what kind of nice is she being, you know what I mean? So it took me a while to sort of gauge body language and read signals from girls, but like that. But I was petrified, like, you know, I was like a squealing teen in puberty, really.
Where was I?
You said something interesting, that you went out with boys.
Yeah, I did date a few boys. I mean, it was nothing serious, and I knew that, you know, there was a point where I thought, you know, maybe I could, and, you know, I could eventually be with a guy. I thought, oh, you know, maybe this will die down after high school, but no, it didn't.
So were you doubting your sexuality?
I was. It was kind of like an on and off. He's like, no, I am. No, I'm not. I'm not sure. Oh, no, I know now, and I'm 100% sure.
What was it that made you sure?
I guess it was actually quite interesting. 3 years ago, there was... one of my close family friends, who still is one of my best friends, I think, I've always said this to my friends, he is the only guy I would turn for. He's just absolutely gorgeous, and I think if he was a girl, he would be perfect for me. Like, he's just absolutely gorgeous, and I said if I were to turn for a man, it would be him. But the reason why I didn't turn for him wasn't because, you know, it's because he's not a girl. Mm. If he was a girl, I would, and I thought, nah, Ginny, you're completely gay. You're so gay, it's not funny. Mm. So, yeah.
So when did you come out? What age were you?
I guess it was 18, I'd have to say, when I came out to everyone. I mean, I'm not still out to my inner family yet, but, like, my sister knows.
But you say your mother listens to your breakfast show.
That's what I don't understand.
So she listens to the breakfast show and then she goes, ah! No, she's not gay at all. She's going to get married in a few years.
Exactly. I think she must have some idea. She hasn't brought it up with me, but I don't know if she's one of those mothers who's just, you know, keeping it at the back of her head and just waiting till I go, Mum, this is how it is. I knew it all along. And I'm still trying to gauge what's going on there.
Because older people, I mean, they're not dumb. I mean, they've lived a long time and they know what's going on, so...
Yeah. Well, no, there might not be any need to ask them. If she knows, she knows.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Mum, if you're listening...
Give us a chat
when you get home.
Do a little counselling session.
Well, my niece, who's 20, 21, she came out to the family earlier this year.
Yeah.
And my mother, who's 84... my sister said to her, look, we've got something to tell you, you know, and Shirley's just told us she's a lesbian. And my mother goes, oh, God, I've known that for years.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, so possibly your mother's just sort of putting it to the back of her mind and saying, maybe one day she won't tell me.
The funny thing is, because I have a lot of gay best friends, like gay guy friends and gay girlfriends. My mother still thinks my gay best friend, Andy, still to date, is my pseudo-boyfriend. I don't know if it's because... In Sri Lanka, you don't have the gay culture where you kind of, you know, see... I don't mean to stereotype, but you kind of don't get exposed to that, or you kind of, you know, don't really, you know, tune into that. I don't know if it's because of that, because, you know, Andy comes over, he'll do my hair, or he'll do my, you know, he'll fix my belt up or something like that. Mum's like, oh, he's such a good friend to you. He really loves you. And then, you know, she'll ask him questions like, oh, what do you plan on doing next year? And that's when I'm like, okay, this is a bit weird.
I have a question.
Are you free in March for the wedding?
Exactly, the four-day wedding.
I have a question which is completely unrelated to this. Sri Lankan family names seem to be extremely long.
Yeah, on the applications you have to put in extra boxes just to fill it in.
Right. Is it because... I was told that by a Sri Lankan girl I went to uni with, because that when you get married you put the... Are the guys' names together? Is that what it is?
I think they used to do that, but I'm not sure about now. I mean, if they hyphenated some names, you'd be there for a very long time. A very long time.
We'll come back to Jenny's story very soon. This is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, tuned into Orange Ribbon, our multicultural program, here with Jenny, Aline, Hugh, and our special guest, Ginny. Hello. We've had a few messages that have come in. Lily has written in to say she's listening. Lovely to hear from you, Lily. And Adam has written in and said, I didn't realise that the tongue was involved in kissing until I had my first same-sex kiss when I was 17. The guy was a chain smoker, so imagine my surprise when instead of a lip smooch, I got a piece of smoked liver and he used my mouth like a spin dryer. Yuck, turned me off kissing for years.
And it would.
That's beautiful imagery. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I think it's going to put me off kissing for years.
I was going to say something naughty then, but we'll move on. You selected that track we just heard, which was Jessica Malboy, Running Back. Why that one in particular?
Now, Running Back, that song, when it just came out recently, it just pretty much word for word summed up my first heartache with a girl. And I think the strange thing about that was, normally, you know, when you go through things, especially, you know, heartache or whatnot, you have people to turn to and talk to about and talk through it. I just found through that first experience where I did get my heart broken, you know, running back, I did keep running back, I did keep questioning things, and I knew it was bad for me, but I still kept going back, or running back, so to speak, and it was hard for me because though I had a great group of friends to support me, or, you know, they, a lot of them were straight, and though they were like, oh, you know, we can't quite understand why you're so upset or whatnot, they did get it, and I think for me I found that, you know, coming out of something so intense with a girl was a lot difficult than what it was with a guy. I think it was... I'm not saying that, you know, heterosexual relationships are easier, but for me, I think in this particular instance, I was just trying to gauge what was going on. And
how old were you?
I was 19.
It's a first love.
Which lasted quite a while. It was an in-and-out thing, so, yeah.
I think a lot of the time there's not that representation in the mainstream media of what homosexual relationships are like. So you don't know.
Exactly.
There's so many role models, as if you're a heterosexual person and it's on TV, it's on the radio, it's in books, but there's not a lot of stories out there or people that we can relate to.
Exactly. And the L Word just came out that year, so it was like, come on now.
You told me that you had a way of expressing yourself, though.
Yeah, I am. You know, like I said earlier on, up until I was 13, 14, I was a very serious person. I was into my books. I was very quiet. I was very to myself. And it kind of did carry on to my late teens and early 20s, I guess. But the way I did express myself was through, I got involved in theatre and performing arts a lot. And I remember when I came out at 18, I was still in that stage where I was just transitioning over, and we wrote a play together, me and my friend Sam, who's straight. And we wrote a play about called The Waiting Room. Now, pretty much what it is a mock waiting room of five strangers, and each of them, one was actually a god character who kind of narrated the whole story, and the other four were just stereotype characters. Like, they weren't given names, they were given like a label, like Lonely, because she looked lonely, and Hotshot, because he was a business guy, Mardi Gras, because he was a gay guy, and what was the other one? Hard Hat, because he was a hard-working middle-class construction man. And I played Mardi Gras, which is funny because we had to kind of read a poem out about being gay and being judged and stuff like that. I was kind of like, I remember when I was reading all the poem out and kind of playing this character, I remember my drama teacher sitting there going, there was something up with you in high school, and it kind of makes sense now. She kind of suspected all along that I had this suppression of who I was and what I wanted to be like, and, you know, how I wanted to be free. And when I caught up with her earlier this year, she said to me, we always knew you were gay. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, you could have told me this.
Doesn't it frustrate you every time?
Did you actually pick to play Mardi Gras, or was it your choice?
No, my friend Sam, who wrote the book, said, I want you to play Mardi Gras.
Right, okay.
I'm like, thanks.
All right, and you're in there.
Yeah,
sure.
So, yeah.
Well, this is Joy 94.9. You're listening to On Driven with Ginny.
Jenny.
Elaine. I actually said Ginny first.
Jenny. On Joy.
With us.
Everyone on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, Joy's multicultural program, here with Jenny, Elaine, Hugh, and our special guest, Ginny.
Hello.
Hello. Why did you pick that track in particular, Omaha, featuring Fiona Holt? You came into my life.
It is pretty much the epitome song of my experience of coming to Joy. It actually sums up Joy for me in a
really?
Song. It does.
How so?
I have changed so much since I've come here. I think I've felt a lot more freer. It's been very interesting because certain parts of me that I silence are now loud. And out.
Big time.
Yes, I mean, you and I started.
We started to get, when was it, 2005?
2006.
2006, we did the Certificate 3 in radio broadcasting course together. Yeah. And the first day that the course started, it was for same-sex attracted young people, for people who don't know about it, and free of charge. We got a big grant, and it's a great way for young people to get involved in the community. I was so scared to walk into the building.
Yeah, I remember that too. And you're kind of like, oh, no.
It's like admitting who you are.
Exactly.
To yourself and to everyone else.
Yeah, I know.
And you were the quietest little mouse in the room with your long fingernails that confused everyone.
Thanks, girl. I remember there were a group of three girls. I don't think you were in them, Jenny, but they were just looking at my hand. I'm like, what are you looking at? And I felt really self-conscious because I had my big folder and my big handbag. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But no, I think I remember the very first class we had, one of the guys was talking about how he was just so open about this celebrity. Is like, oh yeah, this guy stole my boyfriend, and you know, everyone kind of laughed, and that was kind of a surreal experience for me, because at high school, if you were to say something like that, people wouldn't say anything, or people would not say that at all. So I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I remember journaling about it too, and because a part of our course too, we had to journal after every lesson that we had, and that was one of the things that I remember so clearly. And I just thought, okay, this is kind of cool. And going on air, and you kind of get thrown into the deep end, and okay, you are really gay now, and you're on air, and you're talking about girls, and it's like, ooh.
You're out there for everyone to
hear. So how did you cope being on air?
I was fine. Like, once I got on air, you know, obviously the nerves were on the first couple of shows and whatnot, but then I was fine, really. It kind of was really...
And she hasn't stopped talking since.
No, we can't shut it. I kept turning her mic off, but somehow she's on
air. It's coming back.
Thank you. Yeah, running back. But no, it's been great. I mean, I don't know what would have happened if I didn't come to Joy. And I know it sounds really cliched, but... That's true.
What was your first show?
It was a show called I Spy. I had the graveyard shift.
No. Fresh Meat and Tofu.
It was,
and
too.
And we did it together.
We did, too. I was pushing the buttons first. Yeah. I didn't say anything the first show because I was a panel up. Thanks, Jen. no, it was Fresh Meat and Tofu. It was at It was on Sundays. Sunday afternoon. 5 to 6, wasn't it?
It was like the youth time slot. Yeah. Generation Next is on there now.
Exactly.
Yeah. What were you talking about? What was it about?
It was just a variety of programs.
We had a party theme.
We did.
We all played our party tracks, and it was just a shared thing. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. And then I had I Spy, which is my own show, from 11 to 1 on Monday nights. And then from there I did daytime, then I did a couple of drive shifts.
You did a music show, didn't you, on Fridays?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh.
I did I Spy on Sundays.
Sunday afternoon. That was very popular as well. People loved that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool.
It was a good show.
That's cool. Yeah. I played a lot of hip-hop, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I did support for Jenny for that show.
Oh, you did too. You and Brendan.
Yeah. She used to come in and say, hello, and that was it.
Yeah, I wasn't the most friendly sort back then, I guess. Sorry, guys. Anyone I've offended at Joy in my first 6 months, I apologise. I'm really friendly.
So how many shows have you done? I mean, have been different styles? Or?
I've done a lot of, what has it been? It's just been I Spy, a lot of daytime. Like, I do breakfast now Wednesday mornings, which is crazy because I remember filling in the application for the FYA course, Jen. I ticked everything but on-air stuff. I'll do news, I'll do admin, I'll do everything but news, anything but, you know, on-air stuff. And then it's funny, I'm doing breakfast now on a Wednesday morning, so it's kind of crazy.
So what time do you get up to do a breakfast show?
4:30.
Yeah, 4:30. Oh. It takes 2 hours to do a hair.
And it's worth every minute. Look at her. What a spunk.
I know.
Yeah, with these headphones on, it really looks good.
Thanks, Hugh. Yes. It's the reason why I only said hello to you.
Well, I think we've just about come to the end of our show.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we've still got some time.
We've still got 2 minutes.
You know, Jenny's telling
me. Have you got anything else you can tell us?
I stuck up my two fingers.
No.
Well, surely there's something else.
Well,
about
I turn
you,
23
Jenny.
Tomorrow.
It's a birthday.
It is.
We should sing.
It's a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jinjin.
Thank you.
Well, and you're not having my watch.
Oh, damn it.
Now, Jenny wanted to sing Happy Birthday, didn't you?
I did. Can we all sing together?
Oh,
oh
come
my
on
God.
Now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gin Dogs. Happy birthday to you. Hooray.
Thank you, Jenny.
That was painful for everybody out there, but that's okay.
But we're all in there together for
and
Ginny.
And you notice I didn't that's join right.
I did. He was just sitting there rocking back with his pen.
When will it be over?
So what are you doing for your birthday tomorrow?
Not sure yet. Tomorrow I think my boss is taking me out for a long lunch, which is sweet. And then my little niece, who's 3 months old, or my sister just sent me a message going, she's got cake and a nice gift for you on Friday. So,
oh, that's nice.
Aww,
and there's
lovely.
A party with my friends on Saturday too. So excellent. It should be very nice.
Oh, well, all the best.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's very nostalgic now, leaving all this behind my 22s and New Year.
New Year.
Yeah.
All grown up.
Thank you.
Now, I think we have come to the end of the show. Now, we're saying happy birthday. But it's been great, Jenny. Thank you very much
You're
for
welcome.
Coming in and joining us. It's a pleasure
thank
to
you for
be on air
me.
With you. And thank you to Jenny for coming in as
no workers.
A host on Orange Ribbon with us.
You're all very good looking, so it's nice to be on the radio with such spunks.
And, of course, welcome back to Aline after 5 months.
Thanks ago. For having
that
me back.
That was great. Thanks for joining us on Orange Ribbon tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT community here in Australia and around the world. Thank you to Nick on reception. And a special thanks to once again to Jenny for coming in. From Jenny, Aline and myself, Hugh, bye-bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.